This is the Daf Yomi Masechta Review, Masechta Shabbos, tape number 3. For subscription information about the Daf Yomi Masechta Review, please contact Daf Yomi Tapes, PO Box 831, Muncie, New York, 10952. This tape is dedicated in memory of Ha'isha Michlo, Bas Rav Shmuel, Kwiatkowski, Zichroni Livrocha. A Magid Shir is Rabbi Yossi Heber.
We're holding in Perek Bamem Madlikin, Masechta Shabbos, Daf Lamed Dalet, Amud Aleph, at the Mishnah. And the Mishnah says, Gimel Devarim Tzarech Adam Leimar B'Seich Beisai Erev Shabbos Im Chashecha. There are three things that a person should say in his house just before it gets dark on Erev Shabbos. Isartem, Eravtem, and Hadliku Eshaner. Did you take off Meiser? Did you make the Erev Chatzeres to allow carrying from the house to the Chatzer? And also, did you make an Erev Tchumen to allow a person to walk more than 2,000 Amos beyond the city limits? And finally, did you light the Neir Shabbos? Once it's Bein HaShmashos, meaning that it's after Shkia, the Rabbanan were geyser that one should not take off Meiser or be Toivel Kelim, since it looks like a person is Misakein Kli, it looks like he's fixing Kelim. This Tana holds that this Isser Derabbanan, and it's Derabbanan which we refer to as a Shvus, applies not only on Shabbos proper, but even B'Safek HaShecha, i.e. during the period which we call Bein HaShmashos. And of course, one cannot light Neirus during Safek HaShecha, since lighting a fire, in this case, would be a Safek Melacha Daraisa, and one has to be very careful with that. However, the Mishnah says that one can take off Meiser from Demai during this period. Demai is Peris, which is purchased from an Amharetz, where the Rabbanim were geyser not to eat it without taking off more Meiser, since they were afraid that the Amharetz never took off Meiser in the first place. So now this is a Safek Tevel. And since this is only a Chumra mid Rabbanan to begin with, that they have to retake off Meiser, so here by Safek Hashecha, we don't have to be Machmer and worry about Tikkun Kli. Finally, the Mishnah says, during the period of Bein HaShmashos, one can make an Erev, and one would be allowed to insulate food in order to keep it warm. This is referred to as Hatmana. Kuntres Aladaf brings the Sfas Emes, who asks that really, Hadlokas Neiros, lighting the Shabbos candles, should be the first question, inasmuch as a delay in Hadlokas Neiros results in a much more serious Isser than a delay in Afroshas Meiser and a delay in making an Erev. Kindling the Shabbos lights after the onset of Shabbos is a melacha min ha-taira, whereas Hafrashas Meiser and preparing an Erev are only midrabanan. Therefore, it seems logical that one should remind his wife to kindle Shabbos lights before asking her whether she separated Meiser or prepared an Erev. In answer to this question, the Sfas Emes brings the Mordechai, who says that the act of kindling the Shabbos lights is construed as an act of Kabbalah Shabbos. It means you've accepted the Shabbos, after which one may not perform any melachas, nor may one take off Meiser or prepare an Erev. Therefore, one must ask his wife whether she separated Meiser and prepared the Erev before he instructs her to kindle the Shabbos lights. And in fact, the Bahag, which is brought here in the Ran, agrees with the Mordechai and says that the act of Hadlokas Neiros constitutes Kabbalah Shabbos, after which one may not perform any melachas. The Rama in Siman Reish Samach Gimel, Sifyud, writes that our minig is that when a woman of the household kindles the Shabbos lights, she accepts Shabbos upon herself. However, she has the right to stipulate otherwise, in other words, that she wants to perform halachas even after Halachas Neiros. Also, he writes that Halachas Neiros signifies Kabbalah Shabbos only for the one who actually performs the Halachas Neiros, but not for the other members of the household. The Magen Avram, in Siman Reish Samach Gimel, Sifkot and Chaf, rules that even though the halacha allows a woman to stipulate that she doesn't wish to be Makabal Shabbos with the Halachas Neiros, as the Rama says, one should not use such a t'nai unless there is a pressing need. In other words, the chatchil, it's better not to do that, but rather to accept the Shabbos immediately by the Hadlokas Neiros. Now let's begin the Gemara. The purpose of Hadlokas Neiros Shal Shabbos is for Shalom Bayis. As the Pasuk in Iyev Parakei says, V'yadata ki shalom ahalecha. Person can now see better in the house, and this helps to promote Shalom Bayis, as opposed to creating people tripping over one another, which would hurt the Shalom Bayis. When one says these three things before Shabbos, one must say it benichusa, in a calm and a nice way, not harshly. The Gemara says that the kula of making an Erev during Bein HaShmashos is only for an Erev Chatzeres, not for an Erev Tchumen, because even though it's only Min Rabbanan, but it still has some basis of being Min HaTera. Therefore, we should really be Machmer by Erev Tchumen. Hatmana during Bein HaShmashos is only Mutter if it's a covering that isn't Meisif Hevel. It doesn't increase the heat, It just maintains the heat. The Gemara says since Bein Hashmashas is Safek Yom, Safek Laila, we're machmir not to do malacha on Erev Shabbos, and machmir not to do malacha on Shabbos itself, i.e. Shabbos is not 24 hours, but rather more like 25 hours. And Bein Hashmashas is the period just after the sun begins to set, and the red tinge appears in the eastern horizon. But once the entire sky is the same color, Bein Hashmashas is over, and it is now Laila. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Nechami says, Bein Hashmashas is from Shkia until the time it takes to walk the distance of a half a mil. This is about 9 minutes. We should point out that the shir of Rabbeinu Tam, which we say, of 72 minutes, comes from the shir of Dalid Milin. We know that if 9 mil is 9 minutes, 1 mil is 18 minutes, so Dalid Milin is 72 minutes. Rabbi Yossi here says that the shir of Bein Hashmashas is keherafayim, the duration of the blink of an eye. Therefore, we always say that during Bein Hashmashas, we assume all chumras of Hilchos Shabbos. Daf Lamed Hei. Rabbi Hanina said the shir of Rabbi Nechemya for Bein Hashmashas can be derived by looking at when the sun is located at the top of the Har HaKarmel, and a kohen who is tameh is on top of it, and he comes down the mountain to be tovel in the sea, he would then be allowed to eat truma that night. And if one wants to see the rock of Be'er Miriam, which provided Bnei Yisrael with mayim in the desert, which was b'schus, the merit of Miriam Hanaviyah, he should go to the top of Har HaKarmel and look out into the sea. This is referred to as the Be'er Miriam. It's interesting to point out that the Sefer Taimei HaMinhagim in Inyanei Shabbos, Simen Tov Chav Gimel, brings this Gemara as a source for the minig to draw water every Motzai Shabbos. Today we do not have this minig. Rabbi Yochanan says the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda regarding Bein Hashmashas. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel gives an additional way of knowing when Bein Hashmashas has ended and night has begun. If there is one star that can be seen in the sky, it's still called day. If there are two stars, it's called Bein Hashmashas. And if there are three stars, it's now called Laila. I.e. three Kaichavim Beinanim is Simon Laila. We should point out that the halacha of Rabbi Yehuda regarding Bein Hashmashas is actually a stira. Here, the Gemara is mashma, that Rabbi Yehuda holds the shir of Bein Hashmashas is one half of a mil, which is about 9 minutes, or possibly three quarters of a mil, according to how Rabbah interprets it. This would be a shir of about 14 minutes. Yet, in Psachim, Daf Tzadik Dalet Amud Aleph, Rabbi Yehuda seems to say that the shir of Bein Hashmashas, which is Shkia Tzeis, is the time of 4 milin, which is 72 minutes. And this, of course, leads us to a major machlokes hapoiskim. Rabbi Haigain says that originally Rabbi Yehuda held that the shir of Bein Hashmashas is Dalet Milin, but later he changed his view to hold three quarters of a mil. This is also the shita of the Gra, brought in Shulchan Aruch, Arachayim, Simen, Resh, Samach, Vav. Rabbeinu Tam, however, holds that the correct Zman of Laila, Tzeisek HaChavim, does not occur until after the shir of Dalet Milin has passed, i.e. 72 minutes. So when we refer to the minig of many people to wait 72 minutes after Shkia, before doing Malacha on Matzoi Shabbos because of Rabbeinu Tam's Zman, this is what we're referring to. The Shita of Rabbeinu Tam that we're referring to is brought in Taisvus here on Daf Lamed Dalet Amud Aleph, Divrei HaMaskil Trei. We should also mention that the length of Bein Hashmashas varies depending on the time of the year, and especially depending on the proximity of a particular city to the equator. The farther a city is from the equator, the longer the Bein Hashmashas, and the more it varies by season. Eretz Yisrael, which is about 30 degrees north of the equator, has a fairly quick Bein Hashmashas. Once the sun sets, it takes only about 30 minutes to see Shleisha Kechavim Beinanim. In New York, which is about 40 degrees north of the equator, it takes about 40 to 45 minutes from Shkia until one can see Shleisha Kechavim Beinanim. And 42 minutes after Shkia is the earliest man that anyone holds for Tzeis HaKechavim on Matzai Shabbos. Many are machmer, like Rabbeinu Tam, to hold 72 minutes. Another holds manim in between 42 and 72 minutes. London, England, which is approximately 50 degrees north of the equator, has wide variations depending on the time of the year. In the winter, the period of Bein Hashmashas can be as short as 45 minutes, but in the summer, it can be a minimum of 55 minutes to see Shleisha Kechavim Beinanim. These shitas, by the way, are not meant to paskin for anyone, but rather to give you a flavor of how complicated this issue of Bein Hashmashas is. For a full discussion of all the shitas on Bein Hashmashas, see the Bir HaLocha and the Mishnah Berurah Achayim, Simen Reish Samach Aleph. The Gemara says there were 6 shofar blasts, 2 sets each of tekiah, trua tekiah, sounded by the gabbai on Erev Shabbos. The first set was to tell people to stop doing malacha, the second was to close all the stores, and the third was to announce hadlakas neris. The gabbai then waited a bit, enough time to roast some fish, and a fourth, fifth, and sixth were sounded to herald in the Shabbos. Finally, after the gabbai would blow the shofar, he would put it away, since it was usher to carry a shofar on Shabbos, or the chatzaitzros on Shabbos, since they're all muktzah. Daf lamed vav. A different brisa said chatzaitzros are always usher, because they belong to the rabbim, so therefore they're muktzah. But a shofar, which belongs to a yachid, can be used on Shabbos and isn't muktzah, since it could be used to hold water to feed a baby. It has a curved top, so it's similar to a cup. And yet, a different brisa said both are mutter to touch on Shabbos. So how do you reconcile this difference? Our answer is, the Mishnah which allows both to be touched is like Reb Shimon, who holds that a keli shemlachti le'isser is mutter letalto. The Mishnah which allows only a shofar to be touched is like Reb Yehuda. Since the shofar has a use as a cup, therefore it's mutter to touch. Masha'in kein as a trumpet, it's aser. Since the keli shemlachti le'isser is aser letalto. Reb Nechemya holds, both are aser. Since a keli is always aser, unless it is used for its primary use. Tosfos, by the way, has an entirely different interpretation of this machlokes, ayin sham. If a needle is found in the stomach, in the beis hakaisis, the thick part of an animal, if it is punctured on one side, it is kosher, but if it's punctured on both sides, the animal is treif. Finally, the name of the place that a get was given is critical, and you must use the present exact name of that place when giving a get, not an old name. This marks the end of the second perek. Now let's begin the third perek of Masechta Shabbos, perek Kira. Before we begin this perek, we will give a brief hakdama on the halachas of Bishul, and again rely largely on excerpts from the Sefer Zohar V'Shamer by Rabbi Falk of Gateshead, England. The definition of Bishul means to change the quality of any type of substance by subjecting it to the heat of fire. The malacha applies both to solids and to liquid. Furthermore, it applies to edibles, such as meat, rice, milk, etc., and also to non-edibles, such as metal, tar, wax, and anything similar. There are two forms of this malacha, bishul, which is cooking, and afia, which is baking. Bishul min ha-Torah can be done either with fire, with H, or by a substance that has been heated by a fire. This is referred to as toldos ha-H. For example, to put a pot of water onto a stove, that's bishul by fire itself, bishul be-H. Whereas to drop a raw egg into a pot of hot water that has been removed from the stove is also an act of cooking. This is referred to as bishul betoldas ha'esh. To place a food into hot water that is off the stove or into the hot air of an oven that has been switched off are still considered acts of bishul because one is cooking in heat that originated from fire, which is bishul betoldas ha'esh. There is, however, a minimum temperature at which heat is considered as toldas ha'esh, since only a powerful heat can be regarded as related to fire. Below this temperature, the heat is no longer powerful and is hence incapable of doing bishul. This minimum temperature is known as Yad Seledespay. At this temperature, the heat is far below boiling point, but is still hot enough that a person would eventually have to withdraw his hand from it due to its intense heat. However, if the temperature is below this, it is just warmth, not considered heat, and warmth is totally unrelated to fire. What about cooking with the heat of the sun? Cooking in the sun, which is referred to as bishul bechama, does not have the halachic status of bishul because the effect of sun heat is inferior to the effect of conventional fire. Accordingly, one may place a plate with an opened egg on the plate so that it fries in the heat of the sun. Chazal saw no reason to forbid this midrabanan because it's clearly evident that one is cooking in the sun rather than in the heat of a fire, and people would not conclude from this that cooking in fire is permitted. It is, however, osur midrabanan to cook in a substance that has been heated by the sun, a tolda hachama, i.e., for example, to drop an egg into water which was heated by the sun. This is asur, because the water is not recognizable as having been heated by the sun rather than by fire. Consequently, if this were mutter, this could lead people to do the same in water heated by fire, toldas ha'esh, which is bishul min ha-Torah. Therefore, we have a bit of a paradox here. One can cook in the heat of the sun itself, but one may not cook in a substance that was heated by the sun. So far we have discussed the isurim midaraisa of bishul, as well as the Takanas Chachamim of Tolda Dechama. Now let's discuss three very important Isuri Chazal regarding Bishul, which will be dealt with primarily in this parak. Number one, Shehiyah, conditions under which a raw or partially cooked food may be left on the stove from Erev Shabbos to cook and soften during Shabbos itself. Number two, Chazara, conditions under which a pot of fully cooked food, which was taken off the stove on Shabbos, may be returned to the stove once again. And number three, Hatmana, conditions under which one may wrap up a pot either on Shabbos or on Erev Shabbos to keep the food hot. First, let's talk about Shehiyah. the leaving of a raw or partially cooked food to cook on Shabbos. From the point of view of Melechah Shabbos, there was no Isser whatsoever in leaving a raw food or unboiled liquid on the stove from Erev Shabbos to gradually cook on Shabbos itself, since the bishul will occur of its own accord. It's comparable to allowing a plant to grow of its own accord on Shabbos and a time switch to operate on Shabbos, both of which are mutter, because the person himself is not actively doing the Melechah on Shabbos. However, Chazal saw a considerable danger in allowing people to leave an uncooked food on a stove from Erev Shabbos, although no actual Isser of Bishul is involved. This is because the fire might prove to be not powerful enough, and the person will be disappointed at the slow progress of the cooking. This in turn could leave him, in a moment of forgetfulness, to stoke the fire in order to speed up the cooking process, and to do so, of course, involved the Melacha of Mavir, fire making. Because of this danger, Chazal forbade leaving uncooked food on a stove in the normal manner. This is called Gzeira Shamayachata, a prohibition enacted to prevent a person from stoking the coals on the fire. It is understood that to turn up a gas flame or the controls of an electric heater is exactly the same as stoking the fire. Consequently, such ovens are subject to the same Isser. To overcome this concern, Chazal made a rule that a fire must first be covered, Ketuma. Coals must be covered with a layer of ash or sand, and a cooker with a sheet of metal, an asbestos board, or even a piece of thick aluminum foil if it is strong enough to withstand the heat. Once such an arrangement has been made, a raw food may be put onto the cooker, even just minutes before Shabbos, and left to cook on Shabbos itself, since once this has been done, the person will presumably not interfere with the fire. That is a summary of Shehiyah. Now let's talk about Chazara, returning a pot to the stove shortly after it was removed on Shabbos. To put a pot of fully cooked food onto the stove is not bishul, even if the food is cold, and the stove will heat it up. This is because a fully cooked food is exempt from the halachas of bishul, as it is subject to the rule of ein bishul achar bishul. Once something is cooked, it can't be recooked. There's no iser. Similarly, to put a pot of pre-boiled liquid onto a stove is not bishul either, since as long as liquid is still warm, it is subject to the rule of ein bishul achar bishul. Consequently, min haTorah, it's permissible to take a pot of cold, pre-cooked food out of the refrigerator and place it onto the oven in order to warm it up even on Shabbos. Similarly, min haTorah, it's permissible to pour a plate of warm soup back into a pot of soup that is on the stove, since no active bishul is being done in either case. However, Chazal saw a great danger in allowing food to be returned to the stove on Shabbos in the normal and typical manner, since the activity appears to be an act of cooking, mechsi kemevashel, and if it were permitted, it could chas v'shalom lead to true acts of cooking being done. Chazal therefore forbade the returning of a pot to the cooker in the normal manner, irrespective of whether the food is cold or still hot, and whether it is a long time or just a short time since it was taken off the cooker. This Isser is known as the Isser of Chazara, returning a pot in the normal manner to the stove. There are three requirements in order for Chazara to be permitted. Chazal permitted returning a pot to the stove if this is just a continuation of its previous stay on the stove and is clearly an act of only keeping the food warm, not cooking the food. This is achieved by fulfilling three conditions, one for each of the three partners involved: the person removing the pot itself, and the oven to which the pot is being returned. The three conditions are as follows. Number one, daitoi lahachzira, the pot is removed with the intention of returning it shortly. Number two, aida biyade, the pot is continuously held by the person while it is off the stove. And number three, aish ketuma, the flame on which the pot is returned is covered, i.e. it has a blech. A fourth condition is that the food must continuously remain warm. If the food got cold, then chazara would not be mutter. We should point out that lechatchila, all these four conditions must be met in order to do chazara. However, if one of the first two conditions is missing, b'di'evet, a person can still do chazara. For example, if a person had das to return it, but he did not continuously hold it, or he continuously held it, but he did not have das to return it, in those cases, b'di'evet, it would still be mutter to return the pot to the stove. Finally, let's talk about the third takanas chachamim, hatmana, wrapping a pot either on Erev Shabbos or on Shabbos. People commonly wrap pots of fully cooked foods in blankets, either on Shabbos or on Erev Shabbos, to keep the food hot. Similarly, they enclose pots on all sides with wool, wood shavings, leaves, ashes, etc., to keep them hot, instead of leaving them on the stove. Wrapping a pot or enclosing it in any type of material is called hatmana. Hatmana can be done with two distinctly types of materials. A pot can be enclosed in a material which adds heat to the food, such as hot ashes, which contain burning embers, or it can be enclosed in a material which preserves the heat and slows down the cooling process, but does not positively give heat to the food. For example, blankets, straw, cotton, wool, etc. Enclosing in the former type of material is called hatzmana bedavar hamaisif hevel, something which adds heat. Whilst to enclosed in the latter types of materials is called hatzmana bedavar hamaimid hevel, or a davar she'ena maisif hevel. Hatmana bedavar hamaisif hevel, something which adds heat, is usur to do even if the actual wrapping takes place on Erev Shabbos. However, to do hatmana bedvarim hamamidim hevel, or as we refer to it as dvarim she'ena maisif hevel, these are materials which retain heat but don't positively give heat, for example, straw or aluminum foil or wool or paper or blankets and so on, this type of hatmana may be done on Erev Shabbos. Now, although by all other malachas, generally speaking, if one did a malacha before Shabbos, if it automatically continues by itself on Shabbos, it's mutter. But by Anyani Bishel, the Chachamim were machmer to say that if one begins to cook before Shabbos, the cooking cannot continue on Shabbos. So the Chachamim were afraid that if the food is not fully cooked on Shabbos, someone will move the coals or increase the heat, Shami Echata B'Gecholim, as we mentioned, and it'll be over on Havara, creating fire, or Bishel, cooking. But as brought in Shulchan Aruch, Chassim, and Reishon, and Gimel, this gezeirah is only at a time and place where it's likely that he will stir the coals. But if one was garaf or katam, then it is mutter to leave a pot cooking even on Shabbos. Grufa means that he sweeps out the coals from the oven, and ketuma means he puts ashes on the fire. Today, our stoves, which are gas or electric, the equivalent act of grufa or ketuma would be via the use of a blech, a metal piece on top of the flame, which acts as a heker, making it unlikely that a person will raise or lower the flame on Shabbos. Also, as is brought in Simon Reishon and Gimel, if the food is already somewhat cooked before Shabbos, it is mutter to let it continue to cook even on Shabbos. This is as we refer to as Shehiya. And the shear of somewhat cooked is the amount of Kemeichel ben Drusoy. Rashi says that Kemeichel ben Drusoy means it was at least half cooked, and the Rambam says Kemeichel ben Drusoy means it was at least one-third cooked. Mikir Hadin, if it is already cooked to the shear of Kemeichel ben Drusoy, a blech is not needed. But the Bir Halacha says that we should be machmir to use a blech, even in this case, unless the food is totally cooked before Shabbos. Another reason to always use a blech is for chazara. If one takes a pot off the fire and wants to return it, since it's mechsi kimavashel, it looks like cooking, it is usur to return it completely unless the stove is grufa or ketuma. And today, this, the equivalent of grufa or ketuma is a blech. The inyan of mechsi kimavashel is brought in the Shulchan Aruch Harav, Simen, Reishon, and Gimel. We should also point out that in Ingris Moshe, Arachayim Chelek Dalad, Simen Ayin Dalad, Sifkot and Lamed Hey, Rav Moshe Zecher Tzadik Livracha says that an electric hot pot or an urn that has only one temperature setting does not require a blech in order to permit Shehiyah, since it cannot be adjusted. The concern of Shami Echata does not apply. A person can't turn anything because there's nothing to turn. Therefore, there's no concern of Shami Echata, and a blech would not be required in a case like that. Now, let's begin the Mishnah. Akira, a stove which was heated up with straw or thin pieces of wood, one can put food on it on Erev Shabbos to continue cooking after Shabbos begins. This is Shehiyah. And we're not chayshish that he will move the coals. We're not chayshish for Shami Echata B'Gecholim, since straw and thin wood don't become coals. But with Gefes, which is Pseudus Zaysim, or Eitzim, which is logs, then Shehiyah from Erev Shabbos to Shabbos is Osir, since we're chayshish Shami Echata B'Gecholim. He might come to stoke the coals. Unless he does Grufa, he sweeps out the coals before Shabbos, or he does ketuma, he puts ashes on top of the coals to cool them off. Beis Shammai says, this heter of grufa uketuma by Shehiyah is only permitted for the purpose of cooking water from Erev Shabbos to Shabbos. But food is usur, since it's mechsi kimavashel, it looks like a person is cooking. Beis Hillel says, even food can be cooked via Shehiyah if grufa or ketuma was done. In additional machlekes, Beis Shammai says, this heter is only by hot water if it's Shehiyah. But chazara, returning something to a flame which was taken off on Shabbos, and to return it on Shabbos, this is also aser, because again, it's mechsi kimavashel. But Beis Hillel holds that not only is Shehiyah going to be mutter, but chazara is also mutter for all foods, as long as we have grufa or ketuma, or a blech today. Later, the Gemara will talk about the limitations of chazara, even according to Beis Hillel. The Gemara. Our Mishnah is like Chananya, who holds that once food is cooked to the shear of Kemeichel ben Drusai, and as we mentioned, Rashi holds this is half-cooked, the Rambam holds it's one-third cooked, then it's mutter to do Shehiyah even without grufa or ketuma. Rashi explains that Ben Drusai, the reason it's called Kemeichel Ben Drusai, because Ben Drusai was a robber who ate his food quickly even before it was fully cooked. Daf Lamed Zayin. The Gemara brings many rayas to the different shitas of our Mishnah, according to Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Shehiya, the act of leaving food on the fire over Shabbos, according to Beis Shammai, if you learn like Rameir, Shehiya is usser. According to Rabbi Yehuda or Chananya, Lefi Beis Shammai, it would only be mutter for water and only with grufa uketuma. Lefi Beis Hillel, according to Rameir, only water would be mutter and only with grufa uketuma. According to Rabbi Yehuda or Chananya, even food would be mutter, but again, only if grufa, the ketuma, was done. Chazara, the act of returning food to a fire after it was taken off, according to everyone, it's usser, except according to Beis Hillel, if you hold like Rabbi Yehuda or Chananya, and then it's only mutter if one did grufa or ketuma. But without grufa or ketuma or a blech, everyone, even Chananya, would hold that chazara is usser on Shabbos. These shitas are based on akira, the ovens in those days. In Shulchan Aruch, Simon Reishon and Gimel, Sif Aleph, today, he mentions that if one uses a blech, this is equivalent to grufa uketuma, and shehiyah would be mutter, and according to the Ramah, even chazara would be mutter. And this is brought la halacha, in the Mishnah Berurah, Sif Katan, Pei Aleph. Rav Safar says that if one wants to put a food next to the wall of the kira, smicha, this is also only mutter if there is grufa uketuma. Today, whether we need a blech to do smicha is a machlekes hapaiskim. Rabbi Yochanan says if one has a tafshil, shenispashel, kol tzarche, it was fully cooked, if someone did not do grufa uketuma, even though it's nispashel kol tzarche, it's fully cooked, but if it is mitzdamek v'yafalai, that continuous cooking makes it even better, then shehiyah would be usser, unless he did grufa uketuma, since we're afraid shamiyachata b'gecholam. The Gemara says Rabbi Sheshes was chelek on Rabbi Barachana, and Rabbi Yitzchak said one can do shehiyah, even if a tafshil is shalai bishel kol tzarche, it's not fully cooked, and even without grufa uketuma. And chazara would be mutter, as long as you have grufa uketuma. Rav says in both of these cases, it would still have to be cooked at least the shear of Kamaichel ben Drusai. Rav Nachman says, if the process of continuous cooking on Shabbos is mitzdamek v'yafalai, it makes it even better, then shehiyah on Shabbos is usser without grufa uketuma. But if it's mitzdamek v'ralai, by continuous cooking it gets even worse, then shehiyah is mutter even without grufa uketuma. And the general rule is that anything with flour in it gets worse as it's cooked too much, mitzdamek v'ralai. According to Rashi and Taisus, this shita is irrelevant, since they hold like Chananya, who paskins that shehiyah is always mutter, even without grufa uketuma, as long as the food was cooked kamaichel ben Drusai. This psak of the Gemara is only according to those who don't hold like Chananya. Daf Lamed Ches. If one mamish cooks on Shabbos, and it was done b'shaygeh, he forgot it was Shabbos, or he didn't know bishul was usser on Shabbos, he's allowed to eat it. But b'mezid, if he cooked, then it's usser to eat it. But if there was shehiyah, then there's no difference if it was b'shaygig or b'mezit. If this means both are osur tid, or both are mutter tid, this is a machlekes. If one does a maisa shehiyah on Shabbos, b'mezit, the food becomes osur not only to him, but to everyone. And in fact, the Tur and Simon Reishon and Gimel paskins like this. The Gemara says when Reis Hillel said that chazar is mutter on Shabbos, Reb Zreika said it's only mutter if one still has the pot in his hand. But if he put it on the ground, it would be osur to put it back on the stove. Since this is Mechsi Kimavashal, it looks like he's cooking. Others disagree with this Chumra. Of course, we should keep in mind that any heter of Chazara can only exist if there was Grufa or Ketuma, or today, a blech. Chizkiya added another Chumra to Beis Hillel. Chazara can only be Mutter if there was Daitoy Lahachzer. When he took it off the fire, he had in mind to put it back on the fire. Others disagreed with this Chumra. And Rabbi Yehu asked, what if he put it down, but not on the ground, rather on a bed? What's the halacha? Or what if he put the food into a new pot? Is chazara going to be mutter? Gemara says, teiku. The Ran and the Rush paskin, all these shailas l'chumra, but the Rambam paskins l'kula. L'halacha, the Mishnah Brura, in Simon Reish Nun Gimel, Sifkat Nun Vav, brings four conditions for chazara. First of all, he says that if someone takes a chalent pot off the fire on Shabbos in the morning, he can only return it if he had das to return it, daitai l'hachzer. If he did not have das to return it, it would be usur to do chazara. In addition, one needs oida b'yadai. One must l'chatchila continue to hold the pot while it is off the flame. If he lets go of the pot, chazara would be usur. As we mentioned in our Hakudama, b'di'eved b'shas atchak, if one of these two conditions are not met, b'di'eved, a person can still make chazara, as long as the other one was done. The third condition is that the chalent has to continue to remain warm. If the chalent cooled off, then chazara would be usur. Finally, there, of course, has to be a blech. Otherwise, chazara, of course, would be usur as well. The Mishnah Berurah also adds that once chazara is mutter, it's mutter to return the chalent pot to any stove, not only the one you took it from. This has an important practical application. If, let's say, in your house, for example, the flame went out, So now you want to move the chal to somebody else's stove. This would be mutter if, of course, there is a blech, and there is a kasher erev, which would allow you to carry the chal to your neighbor's house.